The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you, Father. This morning, I pray that as we begin to teach the word, no heart will be able to resist your word. Your word will go through our hearts and change us and bring about the transformation that we need. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Help me welcome your neighbor to church in any way you can. Just welcome someone by your side to church. And you might be seated. God bless you. Hope the person welcoming you has a smile on his or her face. Or is he about to spoil your morning? So welcome the person again. Wear a warm smile. Glory to God. So, we've been on this teaching from Friday on the supernatural church. Have you been getting blessed? The supernatural church. So if you're just coming for the first time today, well, I won't lie to you. You missed many things. You might have missed your destiny and your calling. Glory to God. But anyway, I will say, if you're just coming for the first time today, you have to get back to the site. Once we upload those messages, get them and hold your own retreat with them. Now, I'm not saying you should listen to it while you're in the bus. Lock yourself up in your room. Get your pen and paper. And I just pray the media team will be a little bit generous to leave the prayer sessions as much as they can. If not, Oyo is your case, but you've missed a lot. Amen. So the supernatural church. And on Friday, we spoke about, you see, the fact that our meetings are supernatural meetings. And we are supernatural people. You know, one statement I've always been making since we started this series is that the most powerful place on earth is the church. Amen. The most powerful place on earth is the local church. No place. I said yesterday, no matter whatever power means to you, if power means anything power means to you, you find that in the church. If it's about making decisions and they stand, of course you know where to find that is in the church. If it's about giving authority, giving command, you know where everything about power. The most powerful place is the church. And I'm not talking about, you know, this one thing that, you know, if you read church history, the church at the time lost this consciousness. So they began to mingle with politics. If you read church history, they were trying to get political power so that they can be running things. They don't realize we don't need all those things. If the Lord is leading to go into politics, it's fine. A believer can go into politics. Hallelujah. But we don't need political power to be in charge. I hope you know that. The most powerful place on earth is in the church. This place we are gathered. The kind of power released there. You know, I heard Sister Debbie's testimony when she was talking about how God prospered and how she got a miracle. And you notice, we didn't even pray about that throughout this weekend. I didn't get the point. We didn't pray about that. But once we gather, the kind of energy that is released when we are gathered, the kind of power that is released when we gather, it can meet any kind of need. Any kind of need. And so, I had to lay that foundation. I had to say that again and again. So we're talking about that on Friday night. And one of the things we said, we're talking about, we're talking about the pastoral anointing and how that can help you have a very fruitful, effective Christian life. I believe that blessed you tremendously. The pastoral anointing. And last night, we were looking at the supernatural church being, you know, the strategy for whatever. The strategy for church growth is the supernatural. The strategy for winning the world is supernatural. And I want to tell you what I made is I told you guys, you see, the supernatural church is the answer to a dying world. Remember that. It's the answer to a dying world. The government does not have the answer to the problems of Nigeria. Take it to anywhere. Even the U.S. government, they don't have a problem to their problem. They don't have the solution to their problem. I'm telling you. You know, U.S. you know, is a very good case study because they have everything, at least in the physical. Their health care is good. Their electricity, everything you're looking for is very fine. I don't get the point. But yes, things are going bad. The youths are getting worse. The crime is increasing. You know, people think that crime increases when there is hunger. There may be a little truth to that. Amen. But you see, go to countries where you feel there is no hunger, everything is fine, yet crime is on the rise in those countries too. Because the thing that brings crime is not hunger. It is wickedness and darkness in the hearts of men that only Jesus can take care of. I didn't get the point. That's what brings crime. You find children in secondary school, GS3, SS1, already doing that, are joining cults. See hunger that drove them to cults? It's hunger. It is Satan in the hearts of men. And all over the place is happening, and we're looking at the fact that we are the answer that the world needs. We are the answer. The church is the answer. The preaching of the gospel in power and in demonstration of the supernatural is the answer the church needs, the world needs. It's not hard to see. How many of us had beautiful experiences last night? Hallelujah. You know, some of you went home and you had some kind of visions when you stepped out now, right? Some persons, I could still feel, while I was in my room, I could still feel that some persons were still under the influence of what happened to them through last night till this morning. You know, I could still feel it tangibly in my room. It was a beautiful night last night. Amen. These are some of those nights I wish we had an all night, you know. Maybe we should consider that maybe next year. I'll tell you, I wish we had an all night. And it's not all night of singing or dancing. We teach the word, we pray, we enjoy the atmosphere that God brings our way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't say it to be all night, next. I just said maybe. And so today I'm going to go in another different direction, also under the Spiritual Church. But I will talk about a different topic, the blessedness of giving. Yeah, giving. If it's the first time coming here, well, it's a good thing you're coming and talking about giving. Glory to God. But this will bless you. This we will hear about giving in a different way, like you've never heard it before. Nobody's preached everywhere. You know something I was saying yesterday morning? The local church, one thing about the pastoral anointing is that it helps you feed right. Remember I was saying that yesterday? It helps you feed right. You don't come, you know, it helps you feed right. When I mean feeding right, you feed on what you need. I was saying yesterday, if I should leave some of us to determine what we want to be hearing every Sunday morning, I know what it is. Some of you want to be hearing that you are righteous in Christ every Sunday morning. Some other persons, the only thing they want to be hearing every Sunday morning is, God will give you money. God will give you money. God will give you money every Sunday morning. Some other people, all they want to be hearing is, I don't get the point. And if we go like that, all these things are good. Will God give you money? Yes. Are you righteous in Christ? Are you holy in Christ? Is evangelism good? All these things are good. But if we just stay on it, we'll have kwashoko. Hallelujah. We will just be some set of deformed believers. So this morning, I'm talking about the blessedness of giving. Yesterday morning was the blessedness of the pastoral anointing. This morning is the blessedness of giving. The supernatural church is a giving church. You know, one major place we considered yesterday was Acts chapter 2 verse 41. We saw the kind of church they had in chapter 2 verse 41. The Bible tells us about how in one day, a church grew from 120 persons to 3,000 persons. And for us 41, we began to go down and we began to see all that this church did and all they were known for. So let's see verse 42. Bible said they were either 3,000 people, 3,000 souls. Verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, come on, being 42, and in breaking of bread and in fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. In verse 43, the Bible said that fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That is Spiritual Church, right there. Verse 44, the Bible tells us, and all that believed we are together and had all things in common. You know, I was saying this on Friday night, on 31st night. One of the things that characterizes Spiritual Church is a church that walk in love. Remember that? They had all things in common. I will do a teaching this year, a series this year on walking in love. Amen. very soon this year, a full series, this one, Walking in Love. It might last for 2 months. Because when you talk about a supernatural church, it must be characterized by strong love work. A strong love work. Strong one. Okay, so verse 45. All that believe that others is common, verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all. So it was a church that they were not just running of the Spirit, they were not just loving, they were giving. And they were giving a crazy degree that they were selling their possessions, they were selling their goods. So you can imagine there's a project in church, and someone stands up and says, well, we say 100 project. The guy carries his laptop and his phone and sells it and says, sir, I want to give you the money. That's the kind of thing they were doing here. They were selling their possessions and goods. A brother has a need in church. The guy takes his phone to the market, sells that, and then comes back to help the brother. That was the kind of church that they had. You know, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, we see further about this church. Acts 4:33, the Bible said, and with great power, notice what happened in verse 40, in verse 31, the Bible said when they prayed, the place where they were was shaking. Remember? They was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That was a move of the Spirit. And you will see what the move, that's why I said, revival must be thorough and complete. You see what the move of the Spirit produced. Go to verse 32. The Spirit of God, the boldness. In verse 32, most of them that believe your firm heart. You see that love thing again I talked about. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. Now verse 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And then verse 34, we continue. Neither did anyone, any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors, you know, chapter 2 tells us that they sold their possessions and their goods. And you will think maybe they were selling their slippers and they were selling their phone. Now the Bible tells us what they were selling. They were selling their lands or houses. You know, this church, you know, that's one thing. That's why, you see, the government of their day didn't like them, but they couldn't fight them. There are some things you can't contest with. Now, I was reading a historical document, and one guy, he wasn't a church person. I'm talking about as far back as the early days. And the guy, he said, well, that he didn't believe in any of this. He didn't believe Jesus died. He didn't believe in any of those things. He said, but the way these guys were throwing themselves into this thing, he said, the conviction could be felt. See, you couldn't doubt it. If I, one of the statements he made, he said, people don't accept martyrdom for falsehood. I don't get the point. These guys were into it. Well, you see, find somebody, imagine your elder brother or your younger brother comes back one day and says, I want to sell this land, like 3 plots of land. And he says, ah, wow. What? You say, why are you selling? You want to do a project? He said, no. There is a giving going on in our church. You will say, they've brainwashed them. That's what they were doing here. There's a giving going on in our church, so I just want to sell, like, out of my 10 plots, I want to sell like 4. I want us to, we're building in church and now. Hallelujah. Or he comes back one day and says, this house, I want to put it up for sale. You say, what's happening? He said, there's this brother that has a need in church. Their family has been passing through a loss, and I want to assist them, I want to help them. So I want to sell off this house so that we can help them. You call him, come. You touch him. Are you fine? But that's the supernatural church right there. That's what they were doing. So you know, when you read Bible, dramatize it, act it, imagine. So they were selling their lands and houses, sold them, and brought the price of the things that were sold. Now see verse 35. And laid them at the apostles' feet. So they were not, it's not, you know, people say, well, I don't have to give to the church. I can just give to whoever has need in church. Well, that's not even the pattern in the Acts of the Apostles. They gave to the apostles' feet. It was now the apostles that would distribute to every man as they had need. Do you understand the point? Yeah, so if you're making an excuse of giving now, I can just give to any, he said they gave to the apostles' feet. So they will now say, okay, this will be used for church building. Oh, that brother has need. I said, so how are we sure people are being helped? Let me give an advice. When it comes to giving, have your heart right with God. Amen? Give from your heart. What they do with the money is not your business. If they misuse it, they will answer to God. Do you understand me? That's how I see it. They will answer to God. If a pastor, of course, you won't find that in this place anyway. If a pastor and uses the money to solve his personal needs, he will answer to God. God. And when I mean answer to God, you know, some of you that saw the scriptures were reading is that by the shepherd. You should know shepherd is not a small thing. And some pastors better go back and look at those things. But anyway, distributions were made as they had in verse 36. Verse 36. Glory to God. Now, and Joseph, there was this guy. You see, they said all of them were selling lands and houses. But there was a particular guy that overdid his own. Joseph was surnamed Barnabas, which has been interpreted son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, verse 37. Having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. His own was different. Go to verse 36 again. Put up like Amplified or NLT or anyone. NLT said, for instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So this guy was like, his own giving was out of place, and they had to give him nickname, son of encouragement. You can imagine when the apostles call you son of encouragement, it means you encourage their heart one day. Maybe there was a day there was a massive, massive need, and then this guy just went and just sold his land and brought the money. The apostle said, man, this one is Barnabas. You're now Barnabas. Hallelujah. Now son of encouragement. Glory to God. Verse 37. Hallelujah. Having land, sold it and brought the money. Hallelujah. And that was so. We find that my point is the supernatural church is a giving church. It's a church that was characterized by giving. I understand that sometimes when we talk about giving, a lot of people get very skeptical. A lot of people are just very careful. They're trying. And some pastors are even afraid these days to talk about money. But let me say this to you. The word of God must be taught right. Are you getting the point? And the fact that a lot of people are saying a lot of crazy stuff about money does not mean we will not still say the correct thing. Amen. That's the truth. So I'll talk about giving. So the blessedness of giving. The first blessedness of giving is the fact that when you are giving in church, when you are giving money, giving things, you are modeling the love of God. I'll start from there. You are, the first thing about giving is that when you are giving, you are modeling in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we begin to learn about the love of God. 1 John 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, stop at 14. 19. Amen. He said, we love him because he first loved us. And so, it tells us that the love of God came first. And one of the ways God showed this is love. Is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And so, one of the first places we learn giving from is from God. When you are giving, you are acting like God. God loved the world that he gave. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. He's saying, watch closely. He's saying, walk in love. Where do you learn love from? Huh? Talk to me. Where do you learn love from? From Christ, right? What did Christ do to show us that he loved us? Look at that verse. And has given himself for us an offering. So we learn love from looking at Christ giving of himself. So are giving yourself to ministry, when you are giving money to the ministry, you are modeling the same thing that Jesus did in giving. Are you getting me, guys? So we learn love from Jesus. And let me even drop this. This is the premise and should be the major motivation for every giving you do. The love of God should be the premise and the motivation for your giving. You see, I will talk about so many things about giving today. I will talk about the blessing, how you can give and God will bless you and all that. But you see, if this I'm talking about now is not the foundation and the motivation for your giving, you are out of place already. Because most times to God, your motive will matter more than your actions. Are you getting me? And the motive for the giving is a walk in love even as Christ. Let me show you a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I think verse 7. But 8 verse 7. Yeah, I'm right. Okay, that's 8 and verse 7. Open it up very quickly. The premise and the motivation for your giving should be the love of God. The premise and motivation for your giving should be the love of God. Now, watch this. Put up NLT. I want you to see this. Look at the screen. Are you looking at the screen? Do we read together? Can we read together? Okay, let's read. Since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to all excel also in what? In this gracious act. He's saying, as you are doing well in your spiritual life, you are doing well in fasting, you are doing well in prayer, you are doing well in study, I hope you are doing well in giving too. All of them are marks of spiritual growth. But there are some people that got born again, they feel they have light, their giving has never passed 3,000. They're growing in the word, they're growing in prayer, but they will never pass 3,000. He said, as you are doing well in every other aspect, do well in this one too. Now, see where I'm going to. See verse 8. See where I'm going to. I am not commanding you to do this. I am testing how what? How genuine your love is. So, your giving is a proof of how much you love. I see what I'm talking. I'm showing you. That's why I said the love of God. Why should I give money to church? One, the major reason should be that I love God. The second reason should be that I love the church of God. The third reason should be that I love the believers. That's why you should give. That should be the major motivation for your giving. The motivation should not be, because I'll say come to the fact that God will bless you when you give. I'll touch all of that. But if you miss this very point, you might just find yourself living your life according to the law and living your life according to selfishness. Where the only reason you are giving money is so that God will just give me more and more and more. Are you getting the point? And I can say this to you, you cannot love God without giving. Most people say, we love God, I'm a believer, I'm committed to Christ. And I said something, that was yesterday. I was talking about giving to pastors and all that. Jesus said, where a man's treasure is, there is at ease. Let me say this to you. It is very easy to know how much you love God. One of the ways to know is your giving. There are no two ways about it. Because, I said yesterday, ladies can tell you better. Even guys can tell you better. Someone says, you know, somebody put something on Facebook and I just loved it and I felt I should say it here. No, Valentine's Day is coming. I wanted to say that Valentine's Day is not Mother's Day, it's not Women's Day. It's a day to show love, and love should go from men to women and women to men. Do you understand? It's not Women's Day. So some ladies expect my guy will buy me something on Valentine's Day. I know the human being. So let me just keep quiet and focus on my message. Glory to God. I'm not commanding you to do this. I am testing. Put up a translation of this. Put up like, let's start from verse 7. Put up like message. Okay, I've not tried this with message. Glory to God. He said, you do so well in so many things. You trust God. You are articulate. You are insightful. You are passionate. You love us. Now, do your best in this too. You're talking about money. So as you've been doing well in reaching out, winning souls, this one too demands your best. So it's not saying you should just give and forget the others. I get to the point. He's saying as you're doing well in prayer, doing well in fasting, doing well in reaching out, doing well in prophecy, doing well in healing, doing well in Bible study, do well in this too. Look at verse 8. I'm not trying to order you around against your will, but by bringing in the Macedonian enthusiasm as a stimulus to your love, I'm hoping to bring the best out of you. So he was trying to steer their love, and how that love was going to show would be in their giving. And so in giving, we are imitating the love of God. Why did God give? He loved. I get the point. So the love of God should be the motivation for your giving. The love of God should be the motivation for your giving. You see, gathering attention should not be the motivation for your giving. That's why you notice in this place, when we want to give, maybe offering, we give you an envelope. We say, put the money in the envelope. Because we don't want you to make it big because your neighbor is looking at you. Do you understand the point? If the love of God is not enough to motivate you to give big, then I don't want to motivate you to do that. Are you getting me? If the love of God is not enough to make you to sell your land, you know the Bible says you should not give out of pressure. If the love of God is not enough to make you to sell your land, to sell your property, and give, if it's not enough, then I don't want to motivate you. I don't want to move you. I don't want to make you do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The proof that you love God, there are many proofs that you love God though. One of them is what I'm showing you now. Giving. One of them, giving. And so the first thing about giving, the first lesson of giving, is that you are imitating the love of God. You are learning love from Christ, and you are loving the same way. If you claim the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and you are imitating Christ in his love, remember that the first thing he did, and the major thing he did in proving his love, was in giving. That's why, in fact, giving is the major proof of love. It's not just about money. Giving your life. That's why you can't claim to love God, for instance, and you cannot give your life to his service. You really don't love him. Are you getting the point? That is, I'm just telling you, practical. You can't give your life to, they say, come and do this in church. You say, I'm busy. And you claim you love him. I think they said one love language like that is act of service. And some of you even say, that's my love language. When people assist me to do things. And you love the Lord. And you can't come to church to work as an usher. But your love language is act of service. Glory to God. Giving is a proof of love. Giving your life first. Then giving your money. Giving your time. Giving your energy. Giving your talent. Giving your skill. It's a proof of love. Hallelujah. But you know the Bible teaches that one of the ways to test really how a man's heart is money particularly. It's a way a man's treasure is. Because some people you can touch anything in their life, don't touch their money. If you want my time, I will give it. I'll be in church. I will serve. If you want anything you want, I will do it. But leave my money for me. I'll use my voice to sing unto the Lord. I'll use my energy to carry speaker. Anything you want me to do, I will go for evangelism. I will reach the lost. But leave my money for me. Just any other thing but my money. And that already begins to show you where your heart is. Ladies can preach this better than I do. Because every lady, you know, and I can tell you as a lady, if you have a guy that is very stingy, I'm not saying you should be materialistic, but at least love should give. If he's stingy to a fault, you better move on. He will not change in marriage. No, but that's not what I wanted to say. I'm just saying that guys should give. And guys, do you have a lady that will never give you anything, that has converted you to an ATM machine, move on. Glory to God. We move. but that should be, I'm not saying the reason you get into a relationship is so that you can have him money. Are you getting the point? But at least there should be something about our walk with God. We show we love him by our giving. That's the first thing. The next, second blessing of giving is, you know, I like this very point. I talk about it all the time. For me, it's a great blessing in giving, the privilege of giving to God. The privilege of giving to God. Do you realize in Psalm 50, I think verse 10, he said, silver and gold are mine. God said, God has everything. The man that has everything, the privilege of having to give something to that man. You know, I gave you an example. Have you ever been around a very wealthy man, and then he's celebrating his birthday, and you want to give him gift? Amen. Sometimes you don't even know where to start from. The guy has like 15 cars. The guy has many phones. The guy has clothes. He has his shoes. You can't afford them. His clothes. You can't. So, you don't even know where to start. When such a man now requests anything from you, find out that when you want to go and give to the man, anything you are giving to him, you are counting it a privilege. That's how I see giving to God. Psalm 50 verse 10, quickly. That's how I see giving to God. The fact that it is a great privilege. The guy that owns, he says, silver is mine. He says, gold is mine. Put up King James quickly. Say, all the animals, the beasts of the earth and all that. Put up King James. You have to be very fast. Very, very fast. As fast as you can be. For every beast of the forest is mine. And the cattle upon a thousand hills. Continue. Verse 11. I know all the fowls of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Verse 12. He said, if I were hungry, I will not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That's the God you are giving to. The God that everything belongs to. Have you ever thought about it? The God that even created everything. Are you getting the point? That created everything. Whatsoever we give to him must be counted a privilege. And I tell you, that's why I tell you guys, there is nothing God does not have a right to demand from me. Nothing. In fact, anything I cannot give God is useless. When I was talking about giving, I believe that giving rids, as in money, of its hold on you. Get the point? You know, I've always had the principle all my life as a Christian. If you are very close to me for like more than 7 years, once I've heard this a couple of times. If there is anything I have in my life, and that thing is so precious to me that I'm so scared, that I'm so I cherish it, I will give it out. Nothing can hold me like that. Amen? Nothing can hold me like that. The privilege of giving to God, the fact that he has everything, silver is his, gold it is, and then he wants you to give to him. In fact, to drive it home a little, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, I've been reading this scripture for like how many days now? How many months now? 1 Chronicles 29 verse 12. So let's see it again. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 12. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all. Thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great. So God is, he's saying, power is his. Might is his. Riches is his. Who is following me? See the next verse. Next verse very quickly. Now therefore our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Verse 14, continue. But who am I? That is the, this verse is the position you should take in your giving. Who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all these things you are giving come from you. We are just giving what you gave us. So when you want to give, just see it like, who am I to even give to God? It's such a great privilege, don't you think so? Pull up another translation of this. So instead of grumbling and saying, I want to collect all my money, that is a position you take. I get to the point. Who am I? What a privilege. He says, but who am I? Who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you. We give you only what you first gave us. So instead of complaining, if I give this money now, nonsense, God just demanded. See it from that perspective. Who am I that we can give to you? Who am I that we can give to you? Who am I that we can give to you? You're talking about your father. Imagine if you have a father. Imagine a boy you're in secondary school. And then your father is very wealthy. Maybe he counts in millions and tens of millions. He's very wealthy. Every morning you're going to school, he gives you like 1,000 naira. And then one day, he now says, you got him 15 naira ever. 15 naira? And you say, my 15 naira. I'm not giving you. It should be a privilege. And sometimes the reason you are giving that is because you know that for you to ask for this money, something huge is coming. So, yet my people and I, look at that GNT, cannot really give you anything because everything is a gift from you. And we have only given back what is yours already. Now that's what I was telling you guys the other day. The money in your account is God's money. Everything we have came from him. Whenever you are giving, see it as a privilege. Father, thank you for the... You notice I pray that prayer every time I pray for you and want to give. Thank you for the privilege of giving. It's a privilege that we can give anything to him. Are you getting me, guys? Thank even giving my life for the ministry. I always thank God, Father, thank you for the privilege of ministry. Because who are we that we can even serve God? See you now. That I call you to come and usher. Be even someone. Do you know, in the reasons of it, you should not be standing there to usher. Look at you. Well, next verse. Glory to God. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners as we are all our fathers. Our days on the earth here as a shadow. This blessed me is the one I was thinking about it. Our days here are short. So sometimes I begin to wonder, what is all these things you are holding on to? Our days here are short. He said, I will not die young. Well, even if you die at 80, your days here are still short. 95. I don't get the point. Now, see the next verse, verse 16. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name, cometh of thy hand, and is all thine own. You know what happened? They put up an altar. What happened? They gathered money to build a house. So the guy was praying over the gift. He said, even this material we have gathered to build a temple to honor your holy name comes from you. It's your own. So every time you are called upon to give, see it as a great, great, massive privilege that you can do this. Say, I'm privileged. Say, I'm privileged to be able to give to God. Hallelujah. So the second blessing of giving is the privilege of giving to God. It's a great privilege. Giving to the Almighty God. I put that Almighty capital letter in my notes. The privilege of giving to the Almighty God. Father, the Almighty, the all-powerful God, whatever he asks of us, we should be able to give it. The third privilege of giving is the fact that the first third blessing of giving, rather, is that living in obedience to the word of God. One thing that blesses, you know, every time, you know, yesterday I was going through the book, Midas Touch again. You know, I mentioned that book yesterday to you guys. I was going through the book again, and then I found Brother Hagin emphasizing this and this, that giving is living in obedience to the word of God. And it made so much sense to me. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 17, you find many scriptures that instruct that we should give. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17, it says, every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he had given you. So it's a commandment, it's an instruction, said every man should give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 7, hallelujah. He said, therefore, as we read it out here of it, he said, as you increase in every other way, increase in this way, abound. I wanted to excel also in this gracious act of giving. That's an instruction right there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, you find different instructions as concerning giving. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7, he says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. So these are instructions. Whenever you are giving, you are about to obey the word of God. Are you getting the point? Are you getting me? And I tell you, it's a great blessing to obey God. You know, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He said, you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might be, that you thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then, when is then? When you observe to do what is written in the word of God, then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success. That is a blessing of obedience. Not just about giving. When you obey the word of God, you see, when you live in obedience to God, that is a blessing of obedience. He said, now I'm going to challenge you to begin to obey God. That's why when I teach you on evangelism, I say the same thing. Reaching out is not an advice. It's a command. We are not reaching out, you are disobeying God. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. Not lying is not an advice. God is not advising you not to lie. He's commanding you not to lie. When you are lying, you are disobeying God. That's the same thing about giving. When you do not give, you are leading disobedience to God. So it's a command. It's a privilege to always obey God. So the powerful thing about giving is that when you are giving, you are living in obedience to God. The fourth thing about giving is that you are partnering with God in the advancement of his kingdom. It's a great blessing. The fact that your money is, and if I, let me even say this to you, if this doesn't excite what I'm just saying now, then you really don't understand God and His kingdom. The fact that your money is going to play a role in advancing, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, in reaching more people, you get your money, they use it to buy instruments, buy this, to be able to reach more people. They build their house with your money so that people can come in and serve the Lord. Hallelujah. They use your money to print tracts, to share to people. If that does not excite you, I tell you, without any other blessing coming from giving, that's enough for me. Are you getting me, guys? That's enough for me. The fact that I'm privileged to partner with God in what He's doing on earth. I'm privileged to partner with God in what He's doing on earth. You know, we saw that scripture yesterday in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul was telling the Philippian church, he said, no church partnered with me in giving and receiving. Put up like, do you have ESV? We looked at ESV yesterday. ESV used that word, partnership. He said, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. That was a powerful church. They got into a partnership with the Apostle Paul, of course, in the advancement of the gospel. It was a, if you read this, if you read from verse 16, 17, it was a constant thing. They kept sending. That's real partnership. Not this morning, I'll be talking about partnership. We're going to feel our partnership from this morning. Amen? And that's real partnership. The fact that we're able to partner with God in the preaching of the gospel. The fact that we're able to partner with God in doing what is in His heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. You find a president or a rich man that wants to do, maybe he wants to do a mind-blowing project. Maybe a project that will lift about 30 million children out from malaria. Don't you think that's a very powerful initiative? Very powerful stuff. And then this guy is wealthy. He has all the money for it. And he just says, well, I wanted to join this project. You should be privileged. You should feel privileged to join it. The guy is on a very great move. Or he wants to do a project that will alleviate over 50 million people from poverty. He has the money. Do you understand the point? He has everything. And he just says, well, you join me. It should be a great privilege. God is in a great business on the earth. Saving men. Changing their lives. Turning their lives around. And He's inviting you to partner with Him by the preaching of the gospel. To partner with Him by praying. To partner with Him in giving. You should count it a privilege to do that. Are you getting me, guys? You should count it a privilege to do that. That we are partnering with God in His great vision on the earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12. Talking about giving. It's put for the administration of this service, not only supplieth to the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings to God. Put up like NLT. Hallelujah. And that it was so clear. He says, so two good things will result from this your ministry of giving. The needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met. That is one of the greatest blessings of giving. The fact that what I'm going to give is going to be used to move the gospel forward, to meet sinners. It's going to be used to meet the needs of the saints. It's going to be used to serve the saints. He said, Paul said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. That through my giving, needs will be met. Through my giving, the gospel is moving forward. Through my giving, saints are getting saved. You know, I normally say this to my friends. If you're very close to me, I say this. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, when God will begin to reward, you see, God's reward system is totally different from our reward system. When we get there, you will know. I always give this example. We are planning a 10,000 man crusade. And then, we start the planning. Some persons, this crusade is going to cost, such crusades cost over 15 to 20 million. I hope you know. At a very low scale. Are you getting me? Massive meetings. But then, some persons begin to give. Somebody goes to his savings, coughs out like 4 million and drops it. Another person goes to his savings, 7 million and the crusade holds. Some persons you on the street sharing handbills. Some persons were mounting keke, doing whatever. And it goes on for like 3 months, 4 months, and the crusade holds. And then there is the pastor that was invited. The pastor comes up to some persons were praying. The pastor comes up to the stage and begins to preach. After preaching, about 7,000 people got saved. Powerful meeting, right? When God is about to reward, you think you will just go to the pastor that preached, say, all I know is the person that preached. Are you what I'm talking about? You see, God sees the heart. Man sees the outside. All men know is that that man of God preached. God himself knows that that meeting is a product of the labor of many people. Are you what I'm talking about at all? He knows. So he knows how he knows about the sister that pulled out her 4 million in her savings. He knows. So when we get to the reward seat, the judgment of Christ, he's not going to say, then that's how people got saved there. I will reward only the person that preached. No. We all put in our effort. This meeting is holding this morning. Because some people's money are keeping this place alive now. And God knows. Hallelujah. One of the most comforting things that happened to me is knowing that God knows what people don't know. You know, sometimes we serve, we do some secret things. Jesus knows those things. That's why I'm not the kind of preacher that you'll find all over the place blowing our trumpets. We help somebody pay his or her school fees. They will come on Facebook and say, well, this sister had school fees challenge. And, you know, if God has blessed you, you won't see that from me. Not forever. But Jesus knows. And he sees. I don't get the point. You know, there are people in this place that I know if any sister or brother calls like, Papa, there's a problem, I'm having this problem, I know who and who to call and they will intervene immediately. And sometimes the way we run our ministry here, when they call you, sometimes when it happens once in a while, when they call you, they don't tell you things like, Sister Neka is having her strength challenge. They want to pursue her from the house. So we wanted to give, so we won't say that. You can just, some of those calls are just like, a sister has a challenge in church. Can you give 200,000 for it? I know people that will respond. Jesus knows the heart. I get what I'm talking about. He knows the heart. He knows the heart. Hallelujah. He said the good thing is that we are partnering with God in the advancement of the gospel. In the advancement of the gospel. Everything you see in this place and every other advancement we're going to make inside this building, we ride on people's money. Some people you don't even know. He knows that. You should come with a great privilege that you are playing a role in the advancement of God's work in this place. It's a big, big privilege. It's a big, big privilege. This year we are talking about spiritual ministry. We are going to go out and save a lot of persons. From next week now, we'll start printing many tracts. We're going to print free booklets, free tracts this year. Are you following me? Are you following me? A lot of booklets. We're going to do a lot of massive, massive things. We have a meeting. We're planning yesterday. We have meetings that will run into millions upon millions this year. All those things to reach people. It is a great privilege to partner with him in that stuff. Amen? Let me clarify something. Nobody is exempted from giving. Just like nobody is exempted from preaching. Some people say, I will not preach the gospel. My own, I will be a giver. A kingdom financier. See, calm down. We should all be preachers. We should all be kingdom financiers. I'm not saying you should not do your work. But we should all preach. Everybody has a role in leading somebody to Christ. Amen? Everybody has a role in giving. And this is one thing the Lord tells me almost all the time. Whenever we're doing a project in church and after announcing it, the Lord always says to me, I hope you know you should also be part of this. I believe the pastor should be the most consistent giver in his church. Amen? And I've told our pastors that a couple of times. Amen. By the grace of God, by next month, all things being equal, we should be on radio. Amen? We should be on radio in this town. Now, I've not said much about that, and I'm not even going to say much about it, about whether you give to it or not. You know why? When I was going for it, the Lord said, the first broadcast that will run, you will do it with your money. Nobody should give towards it. You alone should give your money. Amen? I get what I'm talking about. Say you. And it should be I'm the preacher, I should also be the giver. And it's a great privilege to partner with Jesus. To partner with him in his work on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm privileged to partner with God. He says the needs of believers in Jerusalem will be met. He said, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. That's another thing. When you now when you bring your money for the work of God, people are not giving thanks to God because of your giving. That's a great privilege. That's a great privilege. That's a great privilege. The fifth blessedness of giving is the fact that, I'll put it this way and I'll explain it, is the fact that through your giving, you are laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. I don't even know heard it like this before, but I'm going to explain it. You know, Jesus talked about treasures in heaven in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And I will explain to you what treasures in heaven mean. It's not a big word, I will explain it to you. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 19, Jesus talked about laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. So, he says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. In verse 20, he said, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. You know, I've been wondering, what is this treasure in heaven? What does it mean to lay up treasures for yourself in heaven? I'll show you one of the things it means. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. Paul will refer to this thing Jesus said, but will now explain it. He said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us what? Richly all things to enjoy. In verse 18, he said that they do good, that they be rich in good works. That's giving, right? That they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate. In other words, they should not be proud because they have money. They should give it. Do you follow? Now see verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. So what does it mean to lay up for yourself stuffs against them to come, treasures in heaven? It is by, one of them is by your giving. Put up like verse 18 with NLT. With NLT. He said, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works. They should be generous to those in need. Always being ready to share with others. Verse 19, he now says, by doing this, they are storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. So he's saying, your giving on earth has a reward for you in the time, in the life to come. What it means is, when we get to heaven, where what we call judgment seat of Christ, our giving and our heart of service to God will be rewarded. You know, I've explained that to us before, right? Our giving will be rewarded. Apart from what will happen on earth that I will touch shortly, our giving will be, when we get to heaven and face Jesus, giving. And not just giving. Well, I have a teaching on the truth about giving and receiving. You can listen to it and all that. Giving, being rewarded, is not just about how much you give. It's about how much you give. It's about how well you give. It's about the state of your heart in giving. That's why the Bible, you notice 1 Corinthians 9 will teach more, not even about giving big. It will teach about giving right. Amen? For instance, about giving right, I'll still touch it before we close. He says you should give willingly, not grudgingly. That's giving right. In giving right, he says you should give as God has prospered you. So it means that, you notice, I give an example. For instance, the widow's mite. I explain this all the time. She gave, let me use our context, she gave 5 naira. And Jesus said, man, that 5 naira is the highest giving that has ever happened here. And people are wondering, so we are giving 20,000. The reason is because all she had was 5 naira. All she gave was 5 naira. So what was Jesus commending? Jesus was not commending her, the size of her giving. He was commending the generosity in her heart. Who's following me at all? What was the percentage of what she gave? 100%. Right? 100%. The guy that has, that earns 100,000 and gives 5,000, what percentage did he give? 5%. So who gave more? The woman. That's part of giving right. That's part of giving right. Giving right talks about your heart, talks about the state of your heart, it talks about the generosity in your heart and all that. So there will be a reward like that. Jesus will reward us for all we are doing for the gospel here. Once you are not giving it for sure, you know Jesus said, when your right hand is giving, he said, don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. Why? If you do that, what will happen? What did he say?
You've received your reward already. What is the reward? That's the people are praising you, man, the giver. Ah, you can give. That's what there is to it. That's, you see those comments on your Facebook wall? That's the reward. You've gotten it. All this, we need more men like you. Have you seen those comments? I just need to just, if I write check now and give about 10 people here, 20,000, who snap, and I put it on Facebook, and say today we empowered people in our church with the little we have. You will see the way our page will grow. We will say, we need more preachers like you. Not people that be taken from the flock. What you don't know is that those people that post those things are really the people taken from the flock. They only post those things just to confuse you and blind your eye. You don't realize that some pastors are smarter than you. They know that if they post that, you start saying that. So they will steal from the flock and now give some and snap it and say, yeah, when you have, you give back. Now, I'm not against posting pictures for our giving. Why am I not against this? Jesus knows the heart of every man. You know why you are doing it. Do you understand the point? That's why I won't judge you. But if the reason you are doing it so that people will see it, you have received your reward is your comment section. Go and take it. That's the only thing there is to it. It's your comment section. If that's the reason you are doing it. Of course, there is a place where you give. I've explained this before, and you should put it on Facebook. Remember I said that? For instance, we want to do a charity project, for instance, and then we print form. We won't do that. I'm just giving an example. You print form and say, we want to go and give to people, and I put it on Facebook and advertise for it, and people give towards it. When I fulfill whatever, I should put it on Facebook so that people that gave money should know that we use their money well. Do you understand the point? It's accountability. There's a place for that. That's why I said Jesus knows the heart of every man. Do you understand me? But if the reason you are putting it up there so that people will see, he said, he did not say you will go without reward. He said you've received it. Congrats. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But there is a reward after now. We will be rewarded for all these things you are doing. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. The reward is not heaven. God will not reward you with heaven. The only way to go to heaven is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. I hope you know that. That's the only way to have eternal life. Giving is not the way to eternal life. Say amen. Amen. If you are here and you've heard the gospel of the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross and rose again and has forgiven your sins and you accept that, you are saved and you are heaven bound forever. How long? That can never change. I don't know why this digression is coming right now. But that can never change. Giving is not a way to heaven. Good works cannot take anybody to heaven. Right? So never forget it. If good works will take you to heaven, you will go to hell. You've not realized you don't qualify. You've not realized? You don't. So, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13. Let me explain this reward thing very well and going to heaven. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13. Put up New Living Translation. Please everybody look at the screen. On the judgment day, because people say judgment day is coming. Will you go to heaven or go to hell? Look at judgment day. Judgment seat of Christ. Fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. So all our evangelism, all our giving, all our whatever will be tested by fire. Do you understand it? Now see the next verse. If the work survives, that builder will receive what? So there will be a reward for everything we are doing on earth here. Now see the next verse. That's what I'm going to. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. So some person's work will be burned up. But see what he now says. The builder will be saved. He will be saved like someone escaped from the flames, but he will be saved. Because his salvation is not in the works, it's in Jesus. But he will receive no reward. Do you understand it? Is it very clear? So how are you sure you are going to heaven? I believe in Jesus. How are you sure you are heaven bound? I believe in Jesus. Do you understand the point? But our works will be rewarded. So you are laying up treasures for yourself in heaven. In heaven. And that's true riches. That's true riches. That's true riches. Hallelujah. You know, people don't realize you are as rich as how much you give and not how much you have. Let's say it again. You are as rich as how much you give, because how much you have that you cannot give is still your, is already your God. You are still a slave to it. You are as rich as how much you give. You're not as rich as how much you actually have. Your generosity is the proof of your wealth. It's not your bank account. So be richer this year. Are you getting me? Be richer this year. Your generosity is the proof, because it is even that generosity that will give you the true riches. I'm talking about the true rewards that come from money. It's that generosity that will give you. And so, the blessedness of giving is that you are laying up Jesus for yourself in heaven. Now, I'll say two more things then. We just close. The sixth now, right? The sixth thing about giving is the fact that you are showing your trust in God. Giving is a way we express and show that we trust God. Especially in the area of finances. In 1 Timothy, that we already read, chapter 6, verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Now, go back to King James. I'm coming to the end of it shortly. They should not be high-minded. They should not trust on certain things. But where should they trust? Where should they trust? Talk back to me. Where should they trust? What does the living God do? He gives us richly all things to enjoy. How will they show that they trust in the living God? Verse 18. That they do good. Be rich in good works. Ready to, are you getting the gist? So the proof that you trust God to even bless you financially is that you can give. It's a very practical thing. I've explained. Okay, I shared this story a couple of times. I'll just share it again. When we were doing the whole project, I used to teach you something. I'd given and all that. But then, I had money I was using for something. I was saving up money for something. Something very good. So, after saving, investment and all that. So when the investment now paid, you know, and all that, and the first profit, the Lord said, give the whole profit for the project. The whole profit. Amen. I said, fine. It's not like it was easy. I thought about it now. Wow, what kind of thing is this one? Then I asked the Lord, what of the project? But we discussed, because I discussed with the Lord about that project. It's not like I came up with it. I said, Lord, I want to do this. He said, fine, I'll back you up to do it. I said, so what of that one you said that you'll back me up to do? He said, the proof that you trust that I can handle it is that you can give out this money. See the gist. You cannot say, I trust that God will give me more money. It's just like you have 10,000. And you are supposed to give it 7,000. I say, no. If I give it, how will I get another one? You already show you that you don't trust that you can provide. The proof that you trust that God can provide is that you are rich in good works. Well, I gave the money out. And I just stayed. I'll talk about this before we close. Because surely, I started confessing the word. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I know I will have much more. I know this project is still done. I know it will still be done. I didn't know how I was just confessing the word. I didn't know how it was going to be. I was just saying, Father, thank you, because it's done. And it was done way beyond how I thought. And I can tell you, I don't know how, but it happened. Now, the proof that I trusted God, what brought the project, what made the project happen, is my faith, my trust in God. Do you understand the point? But the proof that I had that trust is that giving. And it's very simple. People say, you want to get married. You're saving up for your marriage, for your wedding. Hallelujah. You are saving up for your wedding. Glory to God. And then, somehow, somebody, a believer, has a need.
And the Lord just puts it to your heart, why not just assist this brother? Or as a project in church, they say, I want to do something. And you don't want to, you say, ah, hey, my wedding. So what if I now give this thing and there's no rice? Let me say this to you. When you trust God, He can do things for you the ways you don't expect. He went to a wedding in Cana, in Galilee. And their wine finished. He made wine available. Rice will not be lacking in your wedding. No, it's as simple as that. You need to trust God. I'm not saying you should be very careless. Okay? That's what we'll talk about. There's calculated giving. There's partnership where you say 10% or 15% or 20% of everything I earn, I'm going to be giving. That's that one. But you see, there are times that something will happen and you just put your heart to give. And if such things never come to your heart, you don't want to hear God. Not that people have never heard that they should give, but they've heard that their destiny helper is coming. God will never tell you to give somebody 100k, but you've been perceiving in your heart that 100k is coming to your account. Only you. Receiver. DSTV. Decoder. Only you, they receive. But you can never sense that there's a leading your heart to give. But you just sense, I sense money. The money is actually leaving you, it's not coming. And you should be excited to hear from God about that. You should be excited. Glory to God. And I was telling my pastor sometimes we are praying. We are praying for something, and the answer to our prayer is with us. Should I talk to you? We are having, we want to do a land project, and you want to give 200,000 naira, and you're praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, it's coming. Sometimes the answer to the prayer is in your phone. You are carrying a phone that is worth over 250,000, and you are trusting God for 200,000. Glory to God. It happened to my pastor when they were relocating from where they were, when they were moving from Ife to Lagos. They were praying for, because they needed money to pay for the hall. So they were just praying. They had only one car. And the Lord said, I don't give money to pay for hall. Do you have the money? See your car. And then he took the car. The wife was already in Lagos. Took the car where he was going to sell it. And of course, formally, just called the wife. Say, I want to sell out the car and use it to pay for the hall. Now, before I complete this story, this is why you see here. Guys, let me tell you. Now, I've been talking about ladies. Marry a good man. Guys, listen. Marry a lady that will understand your walk with God. I'm very serious. Not the one that will tell you, Okay, so we start. So what's the plan? We will start trekking. You are not trekking before. Hallelujah. And so the lady, of course, now, was a follower, she just said, but hi. So what are we now going to do? She said, well, I'm already where I'm about to set. I'm about to make payments now. She now said, oh, fine, it's okay. Of course, did her woman thing. But it's okay. I'm not saying when God talks to you, it's going to be very easy. Do you understand the point? And they sold it and went and paid for it. I moved into the hall. I won't go to the part of the story how God supplied them and all that. But the important thing is you must have a heart, that kind of heart, that obedient heart. I didn't get the point. It's a proof that you trust God. So now say, so if I give her this car now, so I'll not be. So don't you believe that God can give you 10 cars in one day? No, think about it. If you really believe it, why is it difficult to give out a car? Don't you believe? Hallelujah. Who has ever given money that he kept for something and God let us sort that thing out for him? That it's always true. Sometimes I say, if I give this money, do you know what happens? It's not like God will say, because of this money you give, I'll give it to you. No. You have stressed, you've expressed rugged faith in him. That's what it is. I know faith always works. always. You've expressed rugged faith in him. You know, that's something Jesus will say. He will say, I've not seen this kind of great faith. Not even in Israel. You've expressed faith in him. Glory to God. You know, sometimes we are New Testament, we are New Creation people. We want to say we know doctrine. And we're using our doctrine to justify our stinginess in our hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're using doctrine. If you are stingy, just say you are stingy. Somebody talks about tithing. You say tithing is not New Testament. It's fine. Amen. We don't do tithing here. We don't talk about tithing here. You know, right? That is not New Testament. So what is New Testament? See, New Testament now is that you are now under a better covenant. So you should not go beyond your 10%. Since you've been shouting tithing is not New Testament, you've never given beyond 1%. So which is better, old or new covenant? You find out, they're just using that you have light, you have knowledge to justify the fact that there is stinginess somewhere in your heart. Most of them are just trying to justify and say, you say, first fruit, there's nothing like first fruit is not New Testament. Jesus is our first fruit. It's true. No, it's true. You know, I've taught that before, right? Yeah, that I'm teaching, so I'm not doubting these things. I'm only saying, make sure that the word of God you are hearing is producing the right fruit in you. I know what I'm talking about. Well, why do we say that is on New Testament? It's not because God is against 10%. All we are saying is the idea of telling people that if you don't give 10%, God is going to kill you. God is going to destroy you. It's not true. Do you understand the point? If you don't give 10%, God is going to shut down heaven for you. It is not true. Do you understand the point? It's not true. The fact that if you don't give it, you see, the devil will come. Mm-mm. Keep it aside. So why are we teaching like that? So that we can free you. The Bible said we should not give out of compulsion. Who is following me at all? So that we can free you to give from a willing heart. It is not so that we can stop you from giving. It's the New Testament that we read that people sold their house and land. It's Old Testament. New Testament. I have more knowledge than you. Sold their house and land. Thomas was just for that stinginess. Is that first fruit? No. Don't you know that the Lord can tell you to give your January salary? And there are one or two persons that have met me say, the Lord put this in my heart. God can know. You see, you must, that's why in hearing from God, don't have any bias. Sometimes we have a bias in your heart already. You're hearing what you want to hear. God can. Say amen. God can. He can tell you, see, not even God, you can just have a little in your heart. Okay, my salary is coming in. I'll just give 50%. You say, Jesus. That is the state of your heart. That Jesus you shouted. To show that you trust God. How many of you know that? Who has ever given all his salary here before? Let me see your hand. Don't know, raise your hand. Very well. That's good. Now, did you die that month? You will have some struggles. It's possible you might have some struggles and some whatever that month. It can happen. I get the point. But you've expressed, apart from what you get back from it physically, your faith in God, your trust in God has stretched. I don't get the point. It has stretched. And that's the thing about giving. It shows your trust. It shows that you trust God, especially in the area of finances. It shows that you trust God. They say we don't do any kind of giving. We give out of it's your heart. We is willing. You give willingly. We don't do tithing in the New Testament. We just give willingly. When have you ever been willing? Your own willingness brings out 200. Your own willingness brings out 1,000. That's the only willingness you have. So shouldn't we go back to the Old Testament? Because that's what you're making it look like. These guys broke out from the law in the early church. And you see, they are giving, they were doing crazy stuffs. As the Pharisees were bringing 10%, Barnabas is bringing his land. I don't get the point.
The services were bringing 10%. Peter was angry with Ananias for not bringing everything that he got from the land. No, think about it. You know that's the problem he had with Ananias. Ananias sold land, brought some. Peter said, where are the rest? Glory to God. So I trust God. I trust God. You know, I believe that I can never be stranded in the area of my finances. And I say it all the time. Me, I can never. There is nothing I want to, even as a ministry, there is nothing we've ever wanted to that we did not do. We can't be stranded. And I say that all the time. And that's why, even when there is a lead in my heart to give out something, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, how will you cope? I'll just remember that I will not be stranded. And I won't be stranded. Hallelujah. And then the last thing I'll talk about before, just make the last one, I'll close. The seventh blessedness of giving is the fact that you are setting up yourself for God's provision. That is something that happens physically when we give. I had to put it for the, as you have it for the last. When we give, you see, let me show you some scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Let's work with NLT because of our time. Then we close. Remember, have the right motivation. The right motivation for giving is what? Love, right? The fact that you love God, you love His work and all that. You shouldn't say, well, I'm just going to give because... But I was even talking to them about giving to ministers. The right motivation for giving to your minister is primarily that you love your minister, you love your pastor. Not even for any other thing. Love should be the motivation. Do you understand the point? Now, but then, that doesn't cancel out the fact. Let me show you what happens when we give. Say, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 7. You must each decide in your heart. So people argue, is money seed? Is seed? No, we don't. I don't. You notice I'm not someone that uses the word seed to refer to money. But I told you, it's still not out of place. Do you understand? You saw it in this verse. I don't use it for some reasons. Okay, but it's here. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. What does he mean by giving? Giving generously, sowing sparingly and bountifully. He was talking about the attitude in giving. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Why? Talk back to me. Why? God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Now, continue. And God will generously provide all you need. Verse 7 said you should give. God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 8 now said God will provide it. So there is something about giving and God's provision. I'm going to explain it to you. There's something about giving. He said you should give. Verse 8 said, you provide what you need, then you will always have everything you need. And you have plenty left over to share with others. Continue. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will remember. Verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. And then bread to eat. In the same way, look at what God will do. He will provide and increase your resources. And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So God will give you money. And He will give you the heart to give it. Who is getting the flow? Now verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So he said, God provides so that you give. He provides again. So that's why I normally tell you guys, whenever you give, trust God to have provision. What you are not saying to God is, God, because I'm giving, you must give back to me. No, that's why your heart must be right. And if your heart is right and you are giving because you love God, that's why when you give and 2 months, nothing has happened, you are not grumbling, I gave, nothing came. Because the motivation for your giving is that you love God and you love His work. Do you get the point? Do you get the point? But then in your heart, you should genuinely love God, give because you love Him and you love His work. But when you now give, you expect that there will be a supply. I gave an example in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. One of this supply comes. You know, Paul said they partner with him in giving and receiving. Go up to verse 16. Let's work with NLT. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. So they gave and they gave again. Continue. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. But I want you to receive what? Did you get the point? So there is a reward for giving. What does it mean by kindness here? They are giving to him, right? He says, I want you to reward. So there is a reward. Another translation of this verse. Another translation, verse 17. It is not that I just, you know, I was saying it yesterday. Any pastor that preaches giving because he needs money needs to work on his heart. He's a covetous pastor. Paul is saying you don't preach giving because you want people to give you money. That's why ministers must always examine their motives all times. Are you getting the point? Always. He says, it's not just that I want to receive gifts. Rather, I want to see profit added to your account. But there is something added to you when you are giving. Are you getting me, guys? Now, see the next verse. Here then is my receipt of everything you've given me. And it has been more than enough. I have all I need now that Epaphroditus has brought me all your gifts. They are like a sweet smelling offering to God. A sacrifice which is pleasing and accepted. So, God, he said, your giving is like an offering to God. Now, verse 19. He now says, my God shall supply all your needs. So, like I said yesterday, my God shall supply all your needs. It's not a new creation reality. It is a prayer that was born out of a heart satisfied from giving. I didn't get the point. So that's one of the ways God supplies your needs. That's why when you give, that's why anytime you give, I don't miss the opportunity to pray for you. And in fact, anytime you give and I pray for you, receive it with all your heart. Hallelujah. Because God will give you more to be able to give more. That's how it works. You give, he gives you more. You give, he gives you more. So that's why I tell people, whenever you give, when you see me give, I declare God's word. Not just that I keep declaring. Father, thank you because there will be much more supply. Thank you because I'm not in doubt. I'm not in lack. Thank you because my debts are cleared. Thank you because I live in abundance. I'm expressing my faith in God by my words. Do you understand? Let me say something to you. You can't go broke giving. Once it's God you're giving it to, you won't go broke doing it. It's a very simple thing. One is you are proving your faith in God. That faith in God will deliver results. Two is that you are giving. And trust me, when you are generous to the work of God, even your pastor will always want you to have money. Because he knows that when you have, are you getting the point? You will give. So he will pray for you. I've noticed something in church. I'm telling you what I've noticed. Some of the best givers, best I mean, I'm not talking about in size, because it's only Jesus that knows the best givers, because he's one that knows how much you have. Do you understand the point? But when I mean best, I mean in consistency. Some of the best givers we have here, some of them are always the first recipients of most prayers I pray. I've noticed it. The reason is simple. Where a man's heart is, that they are giving is a proof that their heart is really with us and with the ministry. So when we pray that their hearts, they will always receive that stuff. I'm going to challenge you this year as we begin to close. To give. And make a commitment to giving. Because you love God and all that. But every time you do that, trust God that there will be massive, massive supply your way. He will give you more. The extreme of some of these teachings are things like, when you give, you get hundredfold. God will give you hundredfold. So you give yourself, Father, no, just because I gave. That's an extreme. Because I gave, give to me. You're trying to make God look like he's doing MMM. So you give him 10,000. He give you 100. No, that's not what we're saying. But whenever you give, trust God. I'm giving to the generous God. Can I give that illustration? Your father that gives you 1K every day just says, give me 20 naira. You will give him. The reason you're giving him is because, one, it's a privilege to give him. Two, you know he is more than able to replace that 29. I just sent something out. Listen, God is more than able to supply anything you are giving to him. He's more than able to replace, supply, and multiply anything you are giving to him. He's more than able. He's more than able. He's more than able. And I can say this by the Spirit. If there is a lead in your heart to give out anything this year, don't hold it back. Once there's a lead in your heart to give, don't hold it back. You're holding it back. You're holding onto an idol already. Don't hold it back. And always make yourself open to have that kind of leading. That kind of leading. That kind of leading. Glory to God. Always open your heart to have that kind of leading. You know the book of Proverbs, you know, said something that I've been quoting over time now. In Proverbs 11 verse 24. Or before that, Proverbs 3 verse 9. 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. It is honor. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And your giving must be given in honor. That's one major reason we give. So giving is a sign that you honor God. Did you observe that? Honor the Lord with your substance. So you can't say, well, I honor the Lord. God knows I honor him now. He's in my heart. No. He said, honor the Lord. Verse 10. With the first of all your increase. Verse 10. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It is honor the Lord, thy substance, and with the first fruits of your increase. Hallelujah. And then in verse 10, he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There is something about honoring God. It brings in much more. So what brings in the much more? I can tell you, it's not about what you gave. But it's not like God is saying, I need this money. If you don't give me this money, I'm not giving to you. But it's a sign of honor. And you know, honor always makes for the flow of gifts, of the anointing. Remember, I thought that. I always said that honor makes for the flow of anything. So when you give in honor, there will be a supply. It's not actually about the money. It's about the honor in your heart that the anointing will respond to. Go back to that verse 9. Well, I'm telling you, some of you need to learn this. Probably like any other translation. Maybe NLT or so. Hallelujah. NLT said, honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, King James said first fruit. But look at what it is saying. That's what it's not about first fruit. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And with what? The best part of everything you produce. That's how the Israelites give. They don't come to their herds, their flock, and then they pick out one that is about to die. They give the best part. Can I say this to you? The best belongs to God. And God deserves the best. See it like that. The best belongs to God. The best part. He said, honor the Lord. That's message. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. The first and the best. Are you following me? Proverbs Amplified. Honor God. Honor the Lord. And if I said, honor the Lord with your capital. Woo. Your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors. And with the first fruit of all your income. Honor the Lord with it. See what happens in the next verse with Amplified now. Verse 10. When you honor the Lord like that, so shall your storage places be filled with plenty. And your vats shall be overflowing with new wine. Because that is honor in your heart. Do you understand the point? Because that is honor in your heart towards the Lord. I strongly believe that when you honor God, just like when you honor a minister, he begins to pray for you from his heart. And honoring God, of course, you will not throw the money to God. That's the mystery of this thing. Will you throw the money to God? To honor him, you are giving it to his minister too. And because of that honor in your heart, he now begins to pray for you. And you know honor makes for the flow of the anointing. Do you get the connections I'm trying to make here? When the Bible said, honor God with your money, he's not saying, go climb, buy ladder, climb heaven, give God, say, Lord, I honor you. Honor the Lord with your money is here. Then, that's just like Paul did when he received that thing. Paul now said, my God shall supply. So, put up like, message verse 10 said, your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. Honor always makes for the flow of the anointing. Jesus went to his hometown. He couldn't do many mighty works because they didn't honor him. They saw him like that son of carpenter. He couldn't do many things. But when you honor the Lord, and one sign that you honor the Lord is with your best. That's what I normally tell you guys. In giving to God, we say we are doing partnership. You don't give to God. It's not when your salary enters or when the income enters. You now say, well, after I do all my spending, I'll just give God some. Honor the Lord with the first and the best. Sometimes when your money comes, separate that one that belongs to God first. Do you understand the point? The first and the best, give. Honor the Lord with it. Proverbs 11:24. Say, I'm a man of honor. Say it again. Say it again. Say, I honor the Lord with my best. Glory to God. Say, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tended to poverty. You know, there is something in man that makes the man feel like, if I hold back more. Do you realize that even big companies in the world, they know this thing? I'm talking about Christian companies, big companies. They get some parts of their money and then they say, we're going to give 30% of all our income this year to charity. Have you observed that? They know it. Many things happen when you give to people. They are excited. They are praying for you. They are loving on you. Do you understand the point? Put up like NLT of this. We'll see the next NLT of this now. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. Another translation. Message said, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. See what happens. When you are stingy and you are doing a job of 100,000, 700,000, that is all you will have. Just your salary. You will live according to your salary. If it comes in, you plan around it, you take loan, you just live normal life. But when you begin to honor the Lord, it means you are now trusting God to give you more beyond your salary. We now begin to pray for you. You will find out that you begin to live above that salary. Are you getting me? That's why there are general laws on the earth. If you don't give, nobody is saying you will be very broke. If you don't give and you're a hardworking person, you will get money, you live a normal life. You get the point? You live a normal life. But then, once things get spiritual, every spiritual person, I'm not talking about believer, unbeliever, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, once it gets spiritual, they must bring in generosity. Have you observed? Even if you go to do ritual, they will tell you to be giving out something. Are you going to be talking about? Once things get spiritual, because that giving, the oracle will tell you, be bringing back something. The reason for bringing, now let me tell you a story. This is something that happened in my hometown. There's the one pot that had water, dirty water. But they did a lot of charm with it. The pot, no matter what is wrong with you, it happened some years back. My dad told me this story. Once you go and take water from that pot and drink, you'll be fine. It's a diabolic thing. Do you understand the point? But they said that before it works for you, you must give something. You must drop, like, even if it's 5 naira. So I told my dad why. He told me, they said that the reason why you always have to drop that, that he said it shows you recognize the power in it. That's how he explained it to me. It shows you recognize that thing has power. I said, I recognize it in my heart. And I said, sure now. So because if you actually recognize it, you will show that you actually value it and recognize it. That made sense. It was a good logic to me. When you see, I want you to trust God this year. Are you getting me? I want you to honor God this year. And one of the ways to show that you honor Him is in your giving. I hope you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's very clear, right? What I'm not saying is that God is waiting for you to give to Him before He gives to you. That, I get the point. But I'm saying that when you honor the Lord, there is the honor always makes for the flow of the anointing of God. Proverbs 11:24. Let's complete that passage. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He that watereth shall be watered also himself.
deliverer's soul shall be made fast. What about another translation? The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Verse 26. Verse 26. You should remove that thing on top. Oh. People curse those who hoard their grain, but bless the one who sells in need of time. You know, you now began to talk about relationship with people. That, you know, it's a practical thing. When you're always giving, and people want to give to you, you know, it's a natural thing on the earth. He's even saying, apart from God blessing you, even on the earth, there's a natural thing about when you know that somebody always gives, it's easier to give to the person. It's a natural thing on the earth. This year, I'm going to challenge you to give to the Lord a lot. Not today. I mean, make it a habit. Make a lifestyle out of it. Remember where we are coming from, man. He said, as you excel, talking about 8 verse 7, as you excel in prayer, in this, in that, he said, excel in this too. What it means is, if your prayer life was 30 minutes last year, this year, you should have stepped up to 45 minutes. That shows you excelling. Is that not true? If you used to reach out to one person last year, this year, it should be two people. That shows you excelling. If you used to study one chapter of the Bible, this year, you should begin to study two. It shows you excelling. That same thing about giving. Your offering last year used to be just anything in your pocket of 15 or 100 naira. This year, make a deliberate attempt to excel. Your partnership last year, you are not even giving. You didn't even have partnership at all last year. This year, make a commitment to it. And don't forget, whenever you do that, you do it for one reason. The first reason is because you love God, you love His work. That is the best and should be the only reason. Do you understand the point? It should be the only motivation. But then when you do that, you begin to express your faith and your trust in God. That I trust that there will be much more. I trust that I will be blessed. I trust that I will not be stranded. I trust that there will be supply. I trust that God will give me much more. How many of you trust the Lord this year? And even if you're a student here, you know, there are many ways God blesses us financially. One of the ways we find ourselves after praying that kind of prayer, you find it looks like your business suddenly has one kind of attention like you never had. Remember that story I told you yesterday about that comedian? You remember that story? Like, you see, the guy just, like, I won't call the name today. The guy just, very popular comedian, he said he started last year with 1,800 naira. That was all he had. He said he was in his dream and he saw Archbishop Benjamin Dahosa appear to him in a dream. I told him, just give me, he said, the way he put it, he said, sow a seed of 2,000 into my life and I will bless you. He woke up and told him all. That's what first we get up. That's why sometimes we feel we know word too much. You get up and say, the seed, the word of God is the seed. So, so he told the mom, Mom, see what I saw. The mom said, don't brush your teeth. I'm just quoting him exactly. Don't brush your teeth. Don't have your bath. Rush to any sort of God mission branch you can locate. So he went there, we took it. I met the pastor there. The pastor said, well, my father is dead, Archbishop is dead, but I'm still here and I will step into his shoes and I bless you. Prayed for him. This happened in January. Valentine's Day last year, his video went viral. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And all over the world, they began to come for him. Life is very spiritual. Do you understand the point? Now, was it the money that God wanted? No. That money was simply a sign of the honor in his heart for that anointing. Do you understand the point? You get what I'm saying? It was about the honor in his heart for the anointing. That's what the gift was. So give to the Lord this year because you love him. And I want to challenge you, must genuinely love God and love his work. Love the work of God. Love the people of God. When you see a brother in need, love the person. When you see a brother in need, love, give the, and loving the person, not telling the person, hey, yeah, it will be fine. Mm-mm. Put your hand in your pocket. Do something. I get the point. Love your pastor. Give to him every week, every month. Love your church. Give to the church every month. Love them. But at every time you do this, say to the Lord, I trust that I will have much. And keep declaring it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is that scattereth, and he abounds more and more. There is one that will hold back. The guy will keep struggling, because you know why the struggle will be there? His money is only within the means of what he earns. He cannot trust God for more, because he's calculating. And some of you that are workers, let me even tell you, nobody gets rich by salary. Hope you know, no matter how much the salary is, begin to trust God. Some of you, one of the ways he will do it for you this year is that he will give you, like I said, your business now begins to drag attention. People suddenly begin to notice you. It's a blessing of God upon your business. And I'm going to pray that upon many of you, that whatever you do will gain relevance. It will gain relevance. Suddenly they just begin to notice you. You used to post videos before. Now you post yet another video, and it just has attention. One on your attention. 10 likes, 30 likes, 100 likes, 700 likes. I'm wondering, where are all these people coming from? I didn't even sponsor this video, but it's getting attention. Another way God will do it, for instance, he will now begin to put ideas into your mind. The Lord said today, after I do this station, I should pray for physical needs. You know, throughout this weekend, I've not done that. And I'll do that today. Amen. You now begin to put ideas into your mind. That's one of the ways he blesses. You now begin to see things that you didn't see. You now begin to see that this business can really pay. There's a possibility in that area. He begins to show you what you never saw before. One other way he might do it is to begin to put it in people's heart to give to you. Talking about the business, there are some of you, the Lord wants to bless your finance this year. But he's going to put an idea in your mind. Walk in the direction of that idea. Start off the business. Are you getting me? God is raising ambidextrous believers. People that can do well in ministry solidly and do well in their business solidly. Do well in the academics. Some people that will say, I failed in school. You say, why? We are serving the Lord. Mm-mm. People that will do well in their ministry, do well in their business. So when that idea drops, and be open to it, some of you in the next 2 weeks or so, you will begin to see things you never saw before. The answers to your prayer, and the prayer I'm going to pray for you today, we go with the ideas that God is going to give you. That's one way God provides. That's one way God provides. He just drops the idea there. Just find yourself, now begin to see light. Say, this can work. Now, there are some of you already have the idea in your mind, but something is telling you it will not work. After this meeting, you will leave here. You begin to see 1,000 ways through which it can work. Some of you, the answer to the prayer may be after this meeting now, you step into a bookshop and just pick one random book. And you just read it. It's like everything, your mind opens up to possibilities. Are you what I'm talking about? Some of you, the answer to the prayer is that somebody just gives to you. There are some of you, people will meet you for no reason and make a monthly commitment of giving to your life. I've experienced this one. Say, apart from being a, before I became a pastor, people will meet you. I'm just like you. I'm making this every month. The guy is not your boyfriend. He's not your girlfriend. He's not anything. He said, I just feel I like what God is doing through you. So they'll say, you are preaching. I like young people that are so, I'm just preaching. Don't just give me an account number. I just want to be. I'm telling you. It's still God's provision right there. You now go back to your office. You now find out suddenly there's a salary increase. They did it for everybody, but they did it because of you. That happens. They did it just because of you. Nothing should fail in your hands this year. That's why this year, I don't want you to live on your salary. I don't want you to live on your business. I don't want you to live on your income. I want you to live trusting God, on God's integrity, on God's word. I told you guys, Peter did not walk on water. Peter walked on the words of Jesus. That's the truth. We don't live by our salary. We live on the word of God. We live on the word of God. Jesus, Satan told Jesus, turn this stone into bread. It's not spiritual bread. It was physical stone. It was physical bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by the word of God. Do you understand the point? In other words, I don't need to turn this into bread to be able to eat. Living on the word of God is enough. He can provide whatever thing you need. This year you will trust God. I'm leaving giving already. I just sensed the Lord to talk God. I'll close like that. This year you will trust God. You should trust Him. Because the ministry we are talking about, financial ministry, demands heavy, heavy funding. I hope you know, right? That's the truth. With more men giving to the ministry and more money, we will do more. But you know it's true. With more men and more money, we will do more. You find people, you know, in your area, there are many things you can do for people. What will happen if you go for outreach after preaching? You buy some of our books and buy Bibles and distribute to people so that they can grow in their work with God. What will happen? What will happen? God will put that kind of fund into your hands. It's more money. We will do much more. You know, this year we're going to see. I've told you guys, these whole payments this year, somebody, at least one or two persons will be the ones to handle it. You will see things like, sir, this thing you've been talking about, I want to handle it. Hallelujah. You know, somebody met me, said, you know, that's the kind of things I want to be hearing. I want to hear things like, I want the church to focus all her money and attention this year on reaching out, printing tracts, and all that. When you come to physical need, if there's any pressing need, let me know. I don't get the point. Because sometimes some of these needs can be distracting to a church. I hope you know. You find a church, they spend all their year. It almost happened to us last year. When we are running the whole hall project, you know, the whole everyday hall. At a point, I called my ministers. I said, we are getting distracted. It's probably my brother meeting, right? I said, we are getting distracted. We are so conscious about getting a new hall, getting a bigger space. I said, we are going to get back to evangelism and to the field. Let's not get distracted and all that. This can be very distracting. That's why every minister must watch it closely. Are you getting the point? You must watch it very closely. You must watch it very closely. So I need people that say, don't worry, this giving thing, let's focus on this. That's why one of the things we want to do this year is to have a consistent partnership system. Consistent one. So that we will not have to come at everything and say, we want to buy bonds. Let's contribute money for bonds. We want to buy soya milk. Let's contribute money for soya milk. No. I get the point. God will prosper you in many ways. Many of you will bring the money into your hands. Many of you will bring the man. Hallelujah. Some of you will bring opportunities. That's why some of you open your eyes after this morning. Opportunities will be passing you by. They will be flying. Notice them. Grab them. And when you grab them, if it's already paying people in 1 million, 2 million, believe that your own will be different. I will get into this. It will give me more. There should be a difference. I have an advantage over the world. Don't you know it's just like doing ritual? When you go do ritual, I explain this to you all the time. You come to the market, all of you are selling, are doing restaurants. All of you can cook. But then this woman that did ritual, her own becomes very special. People come and they wash their plates by themselves and stand on the line. They are struggling for her food. What is happening? She has an advantage over the other people sitting in restaurants. We have an advantage. The supernatural is the advantage over the world. I have an advantage. So when I step out of my house every morning, I declare that the works of my hands are blessed. I declare that there is much more supply for me. I declare that I don't live in debt. I don't live in lack. I declare that I have much more. More people notice me today. You see all those things that you come out. You are carrying your clothes, your cracker that others are selling around. It's like there's so much attention coming towards it. The Holy Ghost in us. It's not just for speaking in tongues. That's why there is a gift called the gift of working of miracles. Because working of miracles now deals with physical things. Is that not true? So I want you to trust God first year. We've thought a lot this weekend on ministry. We will do it heavily. So now I'm talking about giving. And I'm talking about receiving. And I said yesterday there must be a balance between giving and receiving.
You remember that? Yeah.
A believer should know how to give so much. A believer should also know how to receive so much. In everything, you should know how to give the word. You should know how to receive the word. If you only know how to receive the word and you don't know how to give it, that's it. That's not balance. You just know how to give. I'm righteous in Christ, glory, but you don't know how to go and preach it. That's not balance. You only know how to receive your healing, but you don't know how to go and heal others. That's not balance. I get the point. And you should not always, so don't always only know how to give. Some people know how to give the word, they don't know how to receive it. They only know how to heal people. Yet they themselves are sick. They cannot receive healing for themselves. You must learn the two. Same thing about giving. You should learn how to trust God for supply. That's receiving. You should learn how to give it out when it comes. Are you following me, church? So this morning, I'm going to challenge you to give willingly. We are going to pray. And I said to the Lord, I should pray over needs, debts, plans. If you have your plan for the year, on your phone or anywhere, I'm going to pray and declare over those plans. They will not end up on paper. They won't. So I will give you 5 minutes to pray over your plans. After you pray, I will now speak by the anointing. And we're going to bless your plans. We are going to bless what you put your hands to do. Stand your feet. We're going to bless your plans. We're going to bless the things that God has put in your heart to do. Okay? So I'd like you to pray and let that prayer come from your heart. And after that, yesterday I touched on the pastoral anointing. I will step into that pastoral anointing, pastoral office, and I'm going to speak over those plans. And then, so that, what are we trying to do this year? 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. God will provide all you need so that you will have much more to give. That's what God is going to do for us. So take your time. You have 5 minutes. Pray over your plans. Especially plans around your studies. Plans around your business. Plans around your finance. Plans around the projects you want to run. You want to build a house. You want to run a company. You want to increase your reach. Just pray. God wants to. We've not done that throughout this week. So just do it today. That's what this morning is for. If you trust God, then pray. You trust that He will do it. You trust that He can supply. Just pray. Take them one by one. Say, Father, this is what I want to do. I pray. I declare that you will give the increase to this. Jabez said to the Lord that you will enlarge my coast. That was a sincere prayer from a genuine heart. The Bible said, and the Lord did it. The Lord honored it. The Lord answered him. The Lord did it for him. Not that there's a business in this place. You've been posting for the past 3 months. People don't know, but you've not made any sales. You've not even made one sale. You see, your first sale will come this week. Just keep praying. Just pray. Pray. Just pray. Pray over that plan. Pray over the project. Whatever, even if you want to get married this year, you have your wedding to plan. Pray over it. The Lord will bring the supply. You have an event you want to do this year. Pray over it. Take your mind off your salary. Take your mind off your current earning and put it on God. Man shall not live by bread. Man shall not live by salary alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Ebenezer.
Ebenezer. Ay, 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 oh. Ebenezer, my help has come.
Just pray, just pray, just pray, just pray. Just pray. Just pray.
Massive supply.
There is a release of jobs. Jobs. You've been applying for a job anywhere. I demand a release for you now. Before the end of January, receive the job in the name of Jesus. You sent out your applications, or you are still doing that. Have the job. Receive the job. Receive the job. Everything that has to make that job become yours, they begin to work in your favor now. They begin to work in your favor now. They begin to work in your favor now. In the name of Jesus, the job is yours. And I pray for you. You are bidding for a contract, or you are bidding for any contract, you're going for any contract. In the name of Jesus, you have it. You have it. You have it. You have it. Everything and everyone that is supposed to work to make this yours, they begin to work for your good now. 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 In the name of Jesus, there is a supply for you. Now, I heard the Lord say, whatever you lost in the past 1 month, I heard it again. Whatever you lost in the past 1 month, there is a replacement. There is a replacement with much more, with much more, with much more, with something better. In the name of Jesus, there is a replacement. I said there is a replacement. I said there is a replacement. I said there is a replacement. If you lost the job, have a better job. You lost money, have much more money. You lost a gadget, have it in return. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I bless your plans. I bless your plans. Your plans are blessed. Your plans are blessed. Your vision is blessed. Your ideas are blessed. In the name of Jesus. The plans you have, you will do beyond the natural. You will do beyond the natural. You will have resource beyond the natural. You have supply beyond the natural. You have supply beyond the natural. In the name of Jesus. With the blessing of a father, I bless you. You have supply beyond the natural. You have supply beyond the natural. You have supply beyond the natural. In the name of Jesus. That supply is given. That supply is given. That supply is given. That supply is given. This year there is an upward movement for you. There's an upward movement for you this year. There's an upward movement for you this year. I arrest those fears in your heart. I arrest those fears. Those fears of failure. Those fears of defeat. They are not real. They will not happen. They are not real. They will not happen. Somebody say, my fears are not real. My fears are not real. My fears are not real. I cannot fail. I cannot be defeated. I cannot lose. I'm not going down. I'm getting stronger. You know, there is a student in this place. He looked like the hope for your schooling was cut off sometime last year. You've been, what I'm talking about, you know, that's been, they've been training you in school, but something happened around you and it looked like money ceased. Something happened. Is that, the person that was supposed to be helping you, something happened and something ceased. Now put your hand if I just spoke to you. In the name of Jesus, I open more channels. More channels. More channels. More channels. More channels for you. In the name of Jesus. You see, whatever level you want to get to with your studies, you will get there. The money will come. In fact, this year, two of you, because of this thing that happened last year, you started a business to support yourself. The Lord will give the increase. He will give the increase to the business, but more than prospering that business, He will send you financial help in human form. This year, in the name of Jesus. And I heard the Lord say a new direction. That, you know, there's someone that it looked like you go to a dead end. He said, I will chart a new course for you. I will show you a new direction. There is a new path I'm going to create for you that you're going to walk in. And I will show you. So what you call a dead end is not really a dead end. It's the beginning of something better. Open the door. There is light there. You are breaking forth into a brighter and brighter and brighter day. That's not a dead end. I heard the Lord say it again. That's not a dead end. I heard the Lord say it again. I heard the Lord say new direction. I'll show you a new path that you're going to walk. And you'll walk in it. I bless you with supernatural ideas. Ideas that people will hear and they will say, this cannot come from man. Ideas. 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 And as I've been praying over you, I feel a strong urge and anointing to pray that again. There's an increase in your finance. You see, many of you, the time is ripe to step into your millions. And I'm not wishing you well. I'm telling you what the Lord is saying. The time is ripe. You will see it. Your first 1 million, some of your first 5M, some of your first 10 million. The time is ripe for it. The time is ripe. You are not too young for it. You are not too young for it. Lands and houses, cars and properties. You are not too young for it. The time has come. And there is a wisdom of God to manage resources that is given to you. The wisdom of God to manage your resources better, because it will come. But take note of what I'm going to say, and I say this by the Spirit. Just like it was in the days of Joseph. That there were 7 years of increase. But actually, the 7 years of increase was not planned to last only for 7 years. The plan is that it will last for 14 years. But actually, to have 7 years of increase and 7 years of famine. So the plan is that the wisdom of God that you used in the 7 years of increase will make the increase reach out even to the 7 years of famine. Are you getting the point? So for many of you that are seizing your life, seizing this year that God will bring much more into your hands, please leverage on the wisdom of God. Plan better with it. Are you getting the point? Because the days when it looks like it's not coming, you begin to live on that which came. As you trust God for more. There will be no down moments this year. There is supply and there is wisdom to manage it. Hallelujah. You are blessed. 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 I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the morning. I'm blessed in the evening. I'm blessed in my finances. You know what this the Lord said to me? Some of you, you need to understand that the progress you've made in your business last year, and even that started this year, he said, don't forget, I gave the increase. Never forget the source of your strength. Never. If you do, you might stay at that point forever, or you might even start going down. Never forget. No matter the height God will lift you this year, never forget that he was the one that helped you. Hallelujah. He was the one that helped you. Then I heard Bishop Edepo say to the Lord one day, he said, anything that I'm going to get that will make me lose sight of my work with you, don't give it to me. He was that serious. He said that, take it, keep. Hallelujah. I always know that God is my help. Always keep that at the back of your mind. Now, you know what it will produce? One, it will produce thanksgiving. You know, some people, they become so carnal that anything, things happen to them and they feel it just happened by coincidence. It will make you a thankful person. You understand? Every small thing that's coming in, you are thanking God. You know it's not because you are smart that it came. It will make you a thankful person. And it will make someone that trusts God for more. It's like you know that, why wouldn't I trust God? If I refuse to trust him, I don't even know how I'm going to go again. How many of you trust God for this year? It's a blessed year already, amen? Glory to God. Remember, every word I've spoken over you is for you to make war with them. Do you remember? You know what I mean by that? You don't just go back and keep them. You take them and you're declaring them. Pastor said it's upward movement. Pastor said I have new ideas. Pastor said there is. Are you getting the point? You keep saying it. And I heard the Lord say, what you want is actually possible. That's the truth. You know, towards the end of last year, beginning of this year, one of my dear ones here, he got a job, a good job. And the job, I was excited about the job, because this someone, you know, they were looking for the job. He had gotten many offers in different other states, but he said, "I just sense the Lord wanting me to stay in Enugu for the sake of God, church, ministry, and all that. So I'm looking for this particular firm." So he will come, and it's something that they open the portal and you apply for. So they opened the first time he applied. We prayed, applied, he didn't get it. But you make war with words. You get the point? You don't start saying, "Ha, it have closed though, I didn't get it." Don't talk like that. They open the second time, he didn't get it. They say it will not open again. So I was asking him, "So how far now?" He said, "No, I'm here, I'll just wait. He said, "Father, I'll just look out for one or two things I can be doing while I wait for that firm to open up again." And somehow it opened up. Just when the site opened up, for whatever reason they changed the site. The wisdom of God was on him, and he was able to find the exact site where it was. And then he applied. I think there were only, let me not misplace this story, I think there were only two or so that got it at that point. I believe that site opened just because of him. So that's why when we speak, when we tell you, you will get it. Hold on to it. Take the point. Make war with it. Stay there. Paul told Timothy to make war with the prophets that were spoken over him. Do you understand the point? What you want is actually possible. The supply you want is actually possible. The kind of business you want can be done. You see, you can do business in all integrity and still prosper. You don't have to compromise for it. It's possible. Are you getting me? The family you want is possible. The man, the woman you want is possible. The thing you want is possible. And I can tell you, it exists. Do you know? The man you want exists. The lady you want exists. I'm not saying the beautiful ones are born already. They exist. You will see them. Say amen. Some people are shouting amen in faith. Others are shouting in reality. They've seen what they want. Why are you raising your hand like that? Glory to God. God will bless you this year. Amen.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.